Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Gonna get right into this. You know what? Fuck the plugs. Gonna get right into it because got my great friend Charlie Alamo on the line. Charlie, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Tuttle. How are you?
How are things in Montana today?
They are actually nice. It's no longer 90 plus degrees. It's nice and 75, a little bit of light breeze, so can't complain.
See, a lot of people wouldn't understand when I say this. It's one of the stereotypical Florida days where it's overcast, and people think overcast, you know, how can that be still hot? It's hot as hell today, but there's no breeze because it's overcast. So it's actually hotter. Yeah.
It's extremely weird how the weather works down in Florida.
Yeah, it is. So before we get into things, tell people how they can check out your content, YouTube channel, and social media, Twitter account.
I'd rather not. Let's just go ahead and jump into the show.
All right. So yesterday we were talking about the, you know, when we were talking on the phone, we did waste a lot of great content last night.
Yeah, we talked about half an hour.
Half an hour, and I was like, fuck. You know, it's like, damn it. But I was talking about the Milk Crate Challenge. I talked about it on yesterday's show. And I wanted to see if you're down, because I wanted to turn this into, like, the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yes.
You know, like how they were doing it for, like, MLS. Not MLS, but that's Major League Soccer.
Well, they should do ALS. They were doing it for MLS awareness because nobody knows that it's still on.
No, but it was for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, how would you feel like if a disease was named after you, like because you were the first one famous to get it?
I think that'd be pretty awesome. I mean,
like they don't call AIDS Magic Johnson. Like,
no, that's true. But if somebody did die from a case of the Charlies, that would be all right with me.
Okay. Yeah. So, and that famous speech. Like, I mean, everybody remembers the famous speech from Lou Gehrig, like, today, I feel like, I don't even know it, I'm going to fuck it up. I am the luckiest man in the world.
So, how do you die? They don't have any name for the disease, so they're just like, hey, we'll just name it after you?
Well, I mean,
I'm not trying to take anything away. I mean, if anybody should have got his own disease at the time, it probably should have been Lou Gehrig. It's a lot flows off the tongue better than Babe Ruth disease.
Yeah. I mean, that would have just been obesity, like dying of obesity and smoking cigars. And I don't know how Babe Ruth didn't get AIDS back then. I guess AIDS hadn't made it to America like the Beatles yet.
Talk about doing the most out of a bad body. That guy was a pitcher. And then they're like, no, you hit way better than you pitch. We're going to have you hit now and play outfield.
I've talked about this before. You know, once again, everything always leads to movies.
Uh-oh.
But you know, yeah. Well, no, the movie The Babe with John Goodman.
Yes.
I say that he, because you look at actors that want to play athletes in movies, mm-hmm. and some of them get it right, some of them don't. But John Goodman's swing as Babe Ruth was horrendous.
Yeah, it was very bad. You know who kind of looked like a baseball player, even though all he did was dress up as one? The guy that ended up playing Babe Ruth in The Sandlot. That guy that was in a bunch of movies with that weird chin.
Yeah, but I mean, he never took any cuts, though.
No,
he never,
but you know. But he did look like a guy that could have played baseball.
But you know who they say who got it right? Was De Niro and Raging Bull. They said, like, he was the closest thing, you know, as an actor trying to play an athlete.
See, I heard that it was Kevin Costner in For Love of the Game.
Well, I mean, if you like a romance movie.
No, I like the scene where he cuts his hand because he's out there drunk trying to cut wood on a fucking Portaban or some shit like that on a bandsaw. There we go.
I've never understood that. Like, I've used heavy machinery high as fuck, and I've never, ever hurt myself. Matter of fact, I'm more careful.
How messed up is it in the scene? He's having a cocktail. He's out there. He's pushing the wood with a hammer. So he's actually aware enough to not put his hand down there. And then the next scene, he's bleeding all over the place.
Hammer slip. Like, if he would have been using his hands, you get a better feel. You know, the hammer is where he fucked up.
Everybody remembers the only good thing about that was his catcher, because it was John C. Reilly.
You know what, though? I will say this about John C. Reilly. Even though he's known for his comedic roles, like, he can do dramatic roles, too, though. He really, really can.
Yeah, he was good in that one movie about where his kid shoots up a school.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about the one? I think we talked about this one. The one where they're in Vietnam and they end up raping and kidnapping. I think Sean Penn was in it as well, too.
Was that Tuttle's Vacation to Vietnam?
No. No, it was. But Michael J. Fox was in it as well, too. God damn it. Casualties of War.
Yeah, there we go. Yes, we have talked about that.
Yeah, John C. Reilly was in that one, too. And he was like all about kidnapping. But when it was his turn for the gangbang, he was like, I don't know if I want to do this or whatever, you know.
That's admirable. He's a kidnapper with morals.
I know, but I mean, that was just a weird ass movie. And then Michael J. Fox, like, he's not even tall enough to even make a military branch in all reality.
No, he was believable as Doc Hollywood, not as a military man.
Say what you will. Doc Hollywood is one of my favorite fucking movies of all time. Just because that was shot in pretty much the same town my dad grew up in. It was.
That's kind of cool. I mean, there's a few movies that were shot around here. The Untouchables had some scenes that were shot here. The one with Kevin Costner. And then Thunderheart and whatever with Jeff Bridges, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot was filmed.
Yeah. My favorite scene from The Untouchables was how Sean Connery, you know, like he the one guy wouldn't talk, and he went out there, and the other guy didn't know his buddy was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Tell me what Whopper Jr. I always have to say the word Whopper Jr. to get my Sean Connery. Tell me what you know. And then he just blows the guy's head off that's already dead. And they come back in and the guy was just ready to talk.
Oh, my God. You do these voices. I mean, it's like the real
people. I know. I'm like Phil Hendry.
Yeah. The complete opposite of him.
I listened to the audio. That you sent me of Ron Bennington, you know, during the tribute show. And, you know, a lot of radio people would be upset. Like, you know, they'd be like, oh, what the fuck? Why is he talking shit? Actually, you know what? Even with Ron busting my balls, that's kind of like, you know, like a badge of honor almost, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was funny how he said that your voice hasn't changed in years.
Well, it really hasn't. I mean, that's what I'm known for.
You know what else I've kind of noticed too, speaking of that, you and Fez have a lot of mannerisms and some of the things that you say that kind of sound the same.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, I mean, you got to remember.
I think it has to do with growing up in Florida and stuff like that. It might just be your Floridian accent.
But no, I mean, and then to be like, you know, I'm not like a comedian aficionado. Like, I know the big names, but I mean, is it pretty cool to be mentioned with Luis J. Gomez? Like, I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, his tribute wasn't very good. I almost included it. And actually, if you want it, I can go back and pull it for you. But he just kind of plugged Gas Digital, his service that he has, instead of really remembering Fez, where yours was more of a Ron and Fez story. So I don't know. I thought it was funny that he busted balls.
But I mean, he was like, I don't know if this is a tribute, but I mean, what I was going for was to show you, you know, to show people or tell people about Fez's work ethic and how he just loved the art form of radio.
Yeah, I think you got your point across. I, like I said before, I think that they should have let it go a little farther than where they cut it, but that's not, you know.
Because I did shed some tears, real tears, I know, too.
They should have had that in, at least a little sniffle or something, show some emotion.
And I wasn't, that wasn't a work. That was a shoot. It was a complete shoot. Like, I was crying at the end, you know, so I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they thought I was working and they thought I was, you know, just shedding the tears on purpose.
Well, I will say this. You had one of the longer clips. There was, out of all of them, I mean, there was a few people that had.
Didn't you say Russ's was pretty short?
Russ's was very short, but of course, you know.
What was his comment? Like, I mean, this is not a dig on Russ or anything. I don't want anybody to think this
no.
is me. You know, trying to talk bad about Russ or anything.
I thought exactly like Ron said, he got it. Get off the sadness quick, you know, give your little update on what happened and then, you know, move it along. So, it was like maybe 2 minutes, I would say.
Yeah. This is something else that we talked about last night that, you know, I worked with Russ and them for 10 years and then I went to go work with Bubba for 10 years. Now, Russ, like, he hated dark, depressing stories. Like, he always looked for the fun stories or stories they could make jokes about and stuff. Okay.
Yeah,
they tried to keep it lighthearted. But then when I went to Tampa to work with Bubba, it was all about teachers having sex with underage kids or, you know, murder and mayhem or kids being left in hot cars and shit like that.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, the real fun stuff. So it was a little bit night and day. Now, I mean, this isn't a shot at Bubba either, but like, I really haven't listened to the show that much. Did they talk about Fez at all, or do you know?
I have no idea. I don't think that they did, but I don't know. I haven't listened to the show in a long time. Anytime I catch it, it's maybe like the last 10 minutes, if anything, because I'm not up that early.
Because I did, you know, and I'm just being upfront. The first I heard of Fez passing away was Bubba texting me. Not Bubba Whoopass, but Bubba the Love Sponge texted me to let me know that Fez had passed away. So I could have sworn that he would have talked about it. And Chris Stanley had emailed me and wanted to know contacts of other Florida shows. And I gave him Kalta's contact as well as his producer. And then I even reached out to Blitz and Bubba to see if they talked about it. And I said, you know, they're putting together a tribute show. If you guys have any audio, maybe you could send it to them. And never heard back. Did not hear back at all.
And I didn't hear them in the tribute at all. I heard Russ and Drew. Garabo was on there.
Even Garabo, like, talking. Yeah.
And Kelta was on there as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say anything, but like, I mean, how well did Kalta really know Fez though?
You know what? I will give, I'll give Mike Kalta credit. His, tribute was, you know, especially.
What did he say?
You know what? I can send it to you, but, he basically summed up about, being in the business and how Ron and Fez influenced him. Kind of talking about some of the stuff that you did only in a different, you know, obviously more from what happened with him. So I thought it was good.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a guy that I don't necessarily find his show to be that great, but he, you know, he can talk, that's for sure. And he definitely made a good tribute, you know. So
I would love to hear what Drew had to say though, because Drew's really good. Like, if you want a wordsmith, like, Drew's definitely that type of host.
I didn't get a chance to listen to all of his. I just caught the tail end of it, but it was really, his was good too, you know. So I think they did a good job on the tribute.
Drew's dealt with losing radio people before. You know, like when he was on the Phillips File, Jim Phillips had a producer that had cancer. This is before I was at Real Radio, but from what I remember, the guy worked all the way up until the very end, you know, so you got to hear the steady decline in health. And it really did, you know. Jim Phillips always spoke very highly. I think his name was John, I think. I'm not absolutely sure. But yeah, Jim Phillips did have a producer at one time that had died. Because from cancer.
Oh, Yeah. Didn't you say that you killed your producer when you were doing that NASCAR show?
No. You want me to be honest with you? My producer for the NASCAR show, and this
tried
makes
to kill
me
you.
Yeah, no, this makes me want to try to kill myself again. I wouldn't be interested in working in that type of radio, but I'm sure he's getting paid. He's the producer of the Bobby Bones show now.
Oh, Jesus. So that guy went on. Didn't he rat you out and saying that you were doing pay for play or something?
No. That was all on my own. I wasn't aware of my surroundings and didn't know that my program director was on the other side of the glass partition. So
when you were getting a manila envelope with a couple of 20s in it.
Man, I kick myself in the ass every day for that one. But if it would have paid off, it would have been a lot of money under the table.
And you could have been producing Bobby Bones.
Yeah. At the time, he had the name Scuba Steve.
Oh, my God.
But
what was with radio just lifting names from mediocre movies, and then that's what their nickname would be? You know what I mean? Like, it was terrible.
You know, Ron Bennington gave me the best advice. I mean, it really doesn't even matter. But, you know, they named me after another radio guy they used to make fun of that worked in the building at our sister station.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
He was Tim Tuttle, but it was Tuttle with two T's, T-U-T-T-L-E.
Yeah.
And I'd set up all the emails, and then Ron was like, you know, it might be, you know, because Ron always thinks ahead. You know, he was a business owner, comedian. He was like, you might want to change it to Tuttle with two D's, just in case you ever make it big. Well, I did. I don't know what even if I would have kept the two T's, I mean, there's really nothing he could get from me at the moment.
Is that even around?
He went from doing top 40 to hosting a country morning show in Tennessee.
You know, you'd love to be doing that. Hey, this is Hop Along Tuttle here in the afternoons.
You want me to be honest? Like, I've been seeing a lot of top 40 people go to the countryside. Because top 40 is a little safe. A country is always safe. Like, I would love to hear, I know Howard was on a country station at one time, but I would love to hear a country shock jock. Like, I really, really would.
Yeah, there's not really, I don't really think there ever was a country shock jock, to be honest with you. I mean, Imus kind of was for a little bit, and then he ended up doing whatever he ended up doing, political shit.
But yeah. I mean,
he's about the only one that I could think of that actually did anything. Everybody else has just been kind of mediocre, and I wouldn't consider them a shock jock to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of my first board hopping gigs. I mean, just talking about safe radio, I had to run the board for Delilah. That was before they went like automated, you know, with the tones and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So I would actually have to sit there and like listen to like when they were going to go to break so I could hit our commercial breaks. But like, they would give you key phrases. Like if they did one outro, you played your commercials. If they did another outro, they got to play their spot.
I heard her show is so cookie cutter, it killed her son. Is that wrong?
No, nothing's ever wrong for me.
Okay. Nobody else will get that joke, but if they do.
But, I mean, let's be honest, Delilah could buy us probably 10 times over.
Oh, God, yes. She doesn't care.
No, she's like, fuck you.
Off that too. She's on more stations than ever.
And what about Bob and Cherry? Did you ever hear of Bob and Cherry?
Yes, dude. They had those two pieces of garbage on the station up here for a while, and I would have to tune in just because it was some of the worst radio I have ever heard.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And weren't they, the married couple in radio?
I didn't know that for the longest time, but I finally did. But
is there nothing more depressing than a married couple on the radio?
Well, yeah. I've talked about this. I talked about it on yesterday's show about, you know, for a successful relationship, you need some time away. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Could you imagine having to work with your wife every single day?
Yeah. How, like, are you supposed to chase guys around the station when you're when your wife's there?
But no, like Russ, you know, when Dirty Jim was still on the Monsters, like Jimmy used to bring up the fact, he was like, listen, we talk for 4 hours a day straight. I talk to you more than I talk to my wife, you know? So like, could you imagine now, like if you had to do 4 hours with your wife and then go home,
and like
there's got to be some spousal abuse going on there, like for real.
Or other sides of the house. They go to other wings of the house or something like that. I'd never could understand it, because you're going to get pissed off at somebody you work with anyway, and then that's going to carry home, or you're going to have something at home and that's going to carry into work. And it just seems like a nightmare. Plus, their shows always sound terrible.
And how do you, like, if you do get divorced and you have to, like, you know, split assets, like, who gets the show? Like, is it like usually in America where the woman always gets the kids? Yep. Like, does the radio show automatically go to the woman?
In only in cases of being on one station. Now, if they're also on the AM, I believe the husband gets that.
Oh, so we get the AM. We get the.
You get.
It's like we get the adopted kids. We don't get the blood relative.
You get jobbed out on 580 and she gets the flamethrower at 103.2 or whatever. That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get visitation like every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like you get a weekend spot on the FM station.
No, not even that much. They don't give you weekend visitations. They'll run a commercial for your show that's on a different station. That's about all they'll do. So sometimes
it's supervised, right? The program director has to be there. Like it supervises visitation.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those things where they never run the commercial during her show. It's always after.
Mm-hmm.
Or before. No, not even before. Why would she let that? It would have to be after, maybe in the middays.
Now, after the show turns 18, do you like get it back? I mean, does the show get to decide who it wants to live with?
No, they should do like they do in on TV and just boot the lady out and start a new show.
Or do like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where you just completely change the moms like mid run.
How great would that be if they actually did that in radio and they didn't tell anybody, like different Marilyns, like in the Munsters, like if they replaced Bubba the Love Sponge with somebody who sounds like him. So I don't know, maybe. Oh, geez. What was that guy from?
Kid Chris. Kid Chris
sounds like him. So did Man Cow.
Well,
like young Bubba, they both kind of sounded the same.
But then Kid Chris died, but they still carried on the show or something as the Kid Chris show.
No, like Kid Chris is still alive. No, it's Kid Craddock that's dead.
Oh, Kid Craddock, but they carried on the show and it's still called that, right? Or
yes, it is. And you know what? It's hosted by the goons that he had, the goon platoon, to use an old Bubba term that sucks. That the peanut gallery there hosted, and it's one of the worst things ever. I had to run the board for that for a while because they were changing their automated system, so it was terrible. I had to listen to it every morning. And talk about ripping your freaking hair out. Oh my God. They had this one chick, this redhead chick, I forget what her name is, on there, would give advice. And she had no business giving advice, which was kind of the joke. But she thought that she really was like legitimately helping people. And it was so angering. It was upsetting. Mm. And I was like, people listen to this crap. And they actually, people would call in and like, this gets me through my day. Really? This is what gets you through your day? What is your day consists of? Driving your kids to school and then drinking until you got to go pick them up? Because that's the only way I could get through that shit. Maybe popping a few.
I know we've talked about this before, but what about shows that try to shoehorn women into a male-based audience show?
Oh, and, like Sponge? I'm just kidding.
You said it. I did not.
Of course I did. No, that's all on me. No, I mean, she contributes. I think I don't like it. I mean, the only person in radio that's great on an ensemble is the one lady from Bob and Tom.
I really have never listened to Bob and Tom. Is she like really good? I mean,
no,
I don't know.
Horrible. The that show is horrible.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's god awful. And it makes me angry at radio. You know what? It makes me happy for the one guy, Bob. Because Tom's still there. Bob's not there. He's just licensing out the name and sitting at home collecting a check. And when they did have him come back one time, because they used to be on radio here too, again. And it was actually one of the best shows I've ever heard from them, because Bob came back and they just shit on Tom the entire show.
Dude, you know, one of the reasons I like fell in love with radio was because Real Radio was the first FM talk radio station in the country. And they used to do Passion Phones at night after Safe Harbor. It was hosted by Erin Summers. Her name was, I don't know if that was her real name, but she had the sexiest voice. The voice definitely did. She was an attractive woman, but the voice still didn't match up with the face. Okay. And they used to get like, she was a nasty man. Like, that's the only female like shock jock. And she really wasn't trying to be a shock jock. It just, they would talk about sex stuff. Like, you know, this is back before the FCC, like, you know, before Janet Jackson, all that stuff.
Yeah,
and like they would get really, really graphic about like going down and or it, like it was just like, fuck me. I was like, because my mom would listen to it and I started catching on. I was like, God damn, what is my mom and dad doing if they're listening to this show?
They're listening to porno radio.
Yeah, but that went on for a while. And then there was another one woman by the name of Melissa Fox. Fox with two X's, by the way.
Oh, like Jamie?
Yeah. And she hosted the news thing, THANG.
Was she white?
Yeah, white, yeah.
Why
but
she hosting the news thing? That would, you know, now that would be a problem because she's, what is it, appropriating the black culture or something? They went after the other day for saying y'all, which I always hated.
But she would do 5 to 6, but then she was the board op slash host for Howard, you know. And, you know, sometimes Howard, like, would just take extremely long breaks. Like, he would go really, really long, and then it would be, like, 10 minutes worth of commercials. And then, like, she would have to, like, because our inventory, when it came to traffic, not traffic like car traffic as in commercials, we didn't have enough commercials, so she would actually do news and fill until Howard would come back.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't do that before when I was running the board for sports and stuff like that, and it sucks. Because then you don't know right then how long it's going to take, so then you got to pull more news stories, and it's just ridiculous.
Well, we did know. Howard ran on a 2-minute, 10-second delay. So when you're running the board, we had a straight feed that was pre-delay. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. Like, we had a timer. So when we would hear Howard come back on pre-delay, we would hit the timer, and we knew it was 10 minutes or 2 minutes, 10 seconds before we had to go back. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Even
thinking about it now just makes me go, what a pain in the ass. And now all that stuff's gone. It's just a computer.
Yeah, it's all automated. It really, really is. And but that's the thing about Howard, though. Like, you could never really automate his show, though, because like he could do whatever the fuck he wanted to. Like, when you get syndicated, like you always have to like follow like a certain set of rules. But Howard, like in his contract, was like, I can take my breaks. Don't have to be a certain time. I can go as long as I want to, because that was in the contract. Like, you could not cut Howard off.
Oh, you could cut him up now because that show's pre-recorded. Well, now yeah. It's not on because he's off for the summer, but.
Man, how I got to give him credit, but then I also don't like I'm never going to talk about. Look, Howard is the greatest of all time at some
was.
Point. Was. Okay.
He was. He ends up being like Robert De Niro, where you just keep cranking out crappers and you're gonna shit on your legacy as long
like
as
Meet the Parents, like yeah, he's already on Meet the Parents number 5.
He's already on some other show with, if he makes another movie with Zac Efron where he's playing some fucking grandfather, you know. Jesus Christ, man, this is a guy that lost weight to play in Raging Bull. This is a guy that was great in the movie Copland and other, you know, tons of other movies, Casino and everything. Everybody knows the classics he was in, Mean Streets. And then he goes and he does all this shit. The same thing with Howard. Cool. Mm-hmm. You want to be Mr. fucking talk show guy? How about you fucking take this break and get off this goddamn therapy kick? Because every interview you do now is you trying to get somebody
self-analyzing.
Yeah. Oh, so your parents did that. Let the fucker talk, dude. Not everybody's parents screwed them up like yours did. Some people are just screwed up in general, or some people are just normal, man.
But I blame that on Sirius, though.
You can tell when Howard used to be a pretty decent interview. And then he started doing more and more therapy. And then you could tell it was just like, oh, my God. Then it started switching. Go listen to that Robert.
The Hillary interview. Like,
Hillary was terrible. But listen to that Robert Plant interview. He keeps trying to analyze it like his parents did something. And Robert Plant just keeps shutting him down. It's great. And not that I'm a big Robert Plant fan, because I don't like Led Zeppelin. So, and that's an unpopular opinion. You don't like Led Zeppelin. No, yeah. They're overrated. They have some good songs. But the ones that I think are good, they don't play on the radio. They just play the same four.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. I really, really do. I know that I probably piss off. I know this show is going to piss off a lot of people. You know, I've been doing my best not to burn bridges. And I don't really think like I've said anything bad. Like yesterday, whenever I did my live stream, I talked about the pictures that a certain radio female co-host posted.
The Fabulous and, Sports Babe?
Yes, exactly. Her. And I was talking about we all take bad pictures. We all do. Like, oh, I've taken bad pictures. What'd you think of the one picture I sent you? Do not say what it was about. But, I mean, I think I look pretty fucking cool in that pic, but I just can't post it.
Yes, it was tastefully nude. And I think that people will appreciate it when you show the world.
I was laying pretty nice, if you notice.
Well, you can see an outline of something there, so I would say.
But, I mean, we've all taken bad pictures, so I don't think I was really being a dick, right? I just was like, you have to have content control. Like, you got to control your the narrative.
Yeah, there's no way, Kardashian's putting out a shot like that. They're given approval before they post up that quickly. I mean, look at any picture that I'm in. I'm horrendous looking. So I understand about taking a bad photo more than anybody. But you definitely got to take some quality control. Like, there's been some pictures with me and I'll, you know, smoking doobers and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, you better
get lucky.
Yeah.
No, but
you'll
get lucky and be like, damn, I actually look pretty good in that one.
Sometimes. None of the ones that I did. All the ones that I did, I look disheveled. I look like I'm borderline homeless. It's not a good look.
Well, you know, the thumbnail I use for my podcast, the one with me standing in front of my PT Cruiser. Before I took that picture, I worked out for like an hour straight as hard as I could so I could be a little pumped, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, that's not a bit. It's at least you thought about that. You're like, hey, I'm going to be shirtless. I should probably lift a little bit.
No, I was wearing a wife beater in true white trash fashion.
Warm out. You gotta protect your body a little bit.
But I mean, Bubba even talked about it. Remember the story where he said Hogan said, brother, when you do the perp walk, you know, this was during the hog trial thing. He was like, you need to do like 20 pushups before, you know, you go outside for the media.
Yeah, you got to make them look more rugged.
Exactly. That's what I mean by content control. But guess what? I'm going to be spun in to look like the bad guy when at the same time, the person that's going to be mad at me has done the same exact thing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I totally get what you're saying. I don't. But I'm going to pretend like I do.
No, what I'm saying, though, is like, I mean, okay.
Spell it out for me.
Okay, look, I get that I fucked up talking bad about, you know, Florida Man Radio and Shannon Burke and all them people, okay?
Yes.
I get it. I was told not to, but I did it anyways, okay?
You should
have. But, look, Bubba has got to do what he's got to do. I respect Bubba. You know, those are his stations. Those are the ones he needs to protect. I get it. I'm not mad at him for that. I'm just mad that it just constantly keeps getting brought up when people have told you many, many times not to do something, but you still do it.
Yeah, this is true. You both exhibit poor behavior sometimes. And, you know, I understand from both perspectives, from where you're saying and him, because like you just said, he does got to protect his
interest,
like, patience and whatever. You know what I mean? He's got to. Yeah, his interest, the best way to put it. Should you have said the stuff that you said about Florida Man Radio? Probably not. But you know what? Everybody gets pissed off. And if people don't want to accept apologies and they want to, you know, hold grudges or whatever, that's on them, man.
Look, I still have nothing but love for Bubba. Look, he's given me a lot of great opportunities. He helped me build my name, stuff like that. So, look, I have nothing but love for him. I'm appreciative of everything he's done for me. But I would be lying if I didn't say that that didn't irritate me a little bit.
I could understand that. I mean, you know, and then, I mean, that's also irritating. And then the fact that you got to have it constantly brought up and we can't have you on the main show, but we'll have you on their ancillary after shows and stuff like that. It's like, you know, it's kind of jobbing you out. So I understand.
Yeah. Anyways, so I'm getting out before I cause any more damage.
I don't think you caused any damage. You say people take bad photos and you basically apologize to Florida Man Radio and Shannon Burke for comments that you said that
were 100% true, by the way.
Well, okay, there you go. Finally, the truth has been set in stone.
Anyways, wow. Charlie, it's at Real Lame Charlie, correct?
Yes, I am floating around there. Give me a follow and I'll follow you back. Or don't, and I might still follow you back.
See, I'm starting to become that guy that just follows everybody back as well, too.
I do, unless they're whores. You know, I'm not following them anymore, I don't think. And no, I will not sign up to your I'm so glad OnlyFans is going away. So many people are getting paid just to show tit and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm not going to pay for your tit shot so you can sit at home and do nothing. This is ridiculous. If anybody should be paid to sit at home and do nothing, it should be us.
But I know a chick that I actually, like, when we went to Charleston, I'm pretty sure I told you this, but I know her, and that was a night where I maybe took some substances on top of drinking, and I had passed out and never had the opportunity, but she has an OnlyFans page. And I don't know. It just seems it's just way hotter to know somebody and see them nude. I don't know if that makes sense at all.
I mean,
because it makes it real. It makes it like,
I don't know if it makes it hotter, but I think that would be a good, if they have that and then you already see them naked, that's going to be an easier transition for me. It's not going to be like, oh my God, I wonder what, you know, constantly thinking what's going on under there. You already know. Kind of like Christina Ricci. I think I could have a great conversation with her because I have seen her topless in enough movies to be like
Black Snake Moan. Oh my God.
Oh, Buffalo. Oh God. The one with her and Vincent Gallo. Oh God. What the fuck was it? Buffalo 96 or you know what I'm talking about? The one where he kidnaps her and he takes her to like a bowling alley and some shit.
Well, Black Snake Moan was Sam Jackson had a white woman chained up. I don't know how that one didn't cause any controversy.
Well, now that's perfectly acceptable.
All right, I'm out. Okay. Charlie, thank you, man. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I appreciate the time.
You as well. Thanks, man, for having me on.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir.
If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in Volusia, Brevard, or Flagler counties, you need to reach out to Ian Hanna at ianhannahomes.com. On his site, you can learn more about Ian's use of premium photography and aggressive marketing to sell your home quickly and painlessly. So if you're a first-time buyer and not sure where to start, connect with Ian at ianhannahomes.com.
Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com. It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. This is an interview that I've been looking forward to for quite some time, especially with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East. But I don't want to spend too much time on that because I actually find my next guest very, very interested. Mr. Muhammad Waqar. Muhammad, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So, what part of Pakistan are you calling from right now?
I'm from Punjab right now. Punjab is a continent, and I live in Jhelum city. It's like we are very close to the main city, Islamabad. That's really famous. So we are close, but my city is not that famous. So it's Jhelum, Punjab Jhelum.
Okay. Now, before we get into the conversation and stuff, tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do and what you're wanting to promote by coming on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
So basically, I grew up in a city, but then my parents got some house problems, the money problems, because my dad actually fell really sick. He was like in coma for 5 years.
So and the reason I asked, my father just recently passed away. He just died about a month ago. Is your father doing okay? Is your father doing fine now? Or
yeah, my father is fine now. He's actually restarting his own business. He had a fruit shop. So he's really, active all the time. He just wants to do something. So
what was he in a coma for? Why was he in a coma?
He had blood pressure issues, and that led to the coma eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some house problem, he had a lot of mental tension. So after that, we went to a village. I spent most of my time there. I'm right now 23, but in my past 10 years, like when I was 13, I have been working. So firstly, I worked as a laborer. Then I slowly progressed. And 5 years ago, I started working in web design industry. I found it really amazing and stunning to just be able to attach with people. Like you, when you are a web designer, you have attached with very different kind of people. For example, a doctor needs a website. Then you are a medical expert, and Yes.
Did you teach yourself, or did you go to school for it?
I couldn't go to school after middle, like eighth grade. I think that's what it's called there.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. So you're self-taught. You taught yourself then.
Yeah, almost because I had some help from my friend, but mainly I taught myself.
Now, if people want to hire you, if people want to, you know, maybe do some web design type stuff with you, how can they do that?
Well, they can actually contact me through my Upwork profile. I recently made my Upwork profile because I have a lot of local work. And I know recently I'm going international because I found it really limiting to just work in Pakistan. So I thought we should go international, and I found a really great team. So we are now running a proper company. I have registered it in US and Pakistan as Virtuation, like virtual creation.
Now I did a lot of learning about Pakistan. I'm sure that I don't know a lot about it, but I mean, when you think about a lot of Middle Eastern type countries, you know, how is the internet connection? Like, does Pakistan have really, really good internet connection? Because I got to tell you, I live in a very, very small town in America, and our internet is horrible, especially the cell phone reception.
Yeah, it can happen. It actually, in my village area where my mom lives right now, there is a very horrible service. Like, you can't even connect to just make a simple call. But in city area where I live right now with my wife, here we have really good service. So mostly my calls, my work, everything never gets interrupted.
How long have you been married for, Muhammad?
It's been 8 months.
8 months. Well, congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah, like, thanks, I hope you know, like, all the questions that I'm asking is because I'm interested, because I want to learn. And please don't take any offense to any questions
but
how did you meet your wife? Because when people think of the Middle East, they think of arranged marriages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is that something that happened in your case, or is this somebody that you met on your own?
It's a mix of both. Actually, I wasn't really into Eastern culture. So you see, some of our families still find pride in arranged marriage because we have a very, you know, like family thing going on here.
Well, it's so, like a business. It's almost like a bit, you know, you want to strengthen the family. So, of course, you would want to be with a more, you know, affluent type other family, you know.
It's like that with some people, but not
all of
them.
It's like that in America, too. It's like that in America, too. So I don't want you to think like I'm judging. I mean, it happens in America, too.
Yeah, some of the families here, they still do it. Like, they do it for power, for strength, for like more social power, mainly. But in my case, I have a friend. He is a friend of mine in a spiritual circle, a religious circle, you can say. So I have a friend and I know his family. My father knows his family. We have been a family like for a long time. And he has a sister who recently got divorced. And he said that he wants to her sister to marry again, and her sister wanted it too. So we talked a bit about it. And then I talked to her sister, and we actually made a pretty good contact, and we thought that it's a good thing to do it. So we went for it. It was not that arranged, but it was some bitter.
Well, Muhammad, so like, you know, like I don't have a problem with that, but like, you know, a lot of people here in America, you know, we have this saying, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but they say bros before hoes. You know, I'm sorry. I would never ever, like, was it ever weird at all, like being married or dating your good friend's sister, or like is it just different in your country?
It's not about my country, it's about my religion. Like in Islam,
I do have plenty of questions about Islam, no problem, but so yeah, go ahead. I want to hear your answer though.
Yeah, in Islam, you feel pride to give priority to your friends in sense of relationships. For example, if I wanted to go with someone else, I could, but I felt proud to help out or to
your friend
connect with my friend first, because they I already know them. I already know their family.
Is it a sign of respect? Is it a sign of respect that like, we are such good friends, I want you to marry my sister? Like, does that make sense at all? Like I trust you so much. I trust you so much.
Something like that.
Well, my next question is, when I was doing research for this interview, and I wanted you to explain this to me, because you brought up Islam. It says Pakistan is the only country to have been created in the name of Islam. Can you explain what that means?
In earlier days, like in 19s or 18s, most of the people lived together, like Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs and Christians.
Indian
everyone,
Muslims?
Everyone in the subcontinent.
Indian? Even Indian Muslims as well, too, because I was reading something about that as well.
It was a complete subcontinent. So there was no country, a subcontinent. It was a complete kingdom. So most of the time, Muslims ruled it. Before Muslims, Indians ruled it. Hindus ruled it. But after that, British army came in. They started ruling here. And slowly, it erupted. Like, both cultures could not coexist anymore. So then Muslims and Indians also wanted their own different countries. Like Hindus wanted their own country, Muslims wanted their own country. It became like a war, and British army was almost out of supplies and their war funds, you know, like that. So they wanted to come to an agreement. So they came to an agreement to give India to
part of their land.
Yeah. So they gave most of that land that has most of the Hindu community to India, and the lands that have most of the Muslim community to Pakistan. So it's the first country ever to be built in the name of Islam, because their actual thing that they said, you know, their resistance have always a slogan or something. So the slogan of their resistance was that Pakistan will be in the name of Allah and the law of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Now, okay, so and if you don't want to talk about this, I completely understand, but you know, the country that I live in America, we're catching a lot of flack. By when I mean flack, you know, like, you know, because of how we handled Afghanistan. I wanted to get your opinion on that. Now, can you give me some differences between Afghanistan and Pakistan? I'm not saying that the two countries are alike, but like it more seems like in Pakistan, you guys all just want to get along. You see what I'm saying? Like everybody, know, it's like everybody wants to be cool with each other. And then in Afghanistan, it just seems like there's like a bunch of different, like, because, you know, in our country, in America, we had a civil war, right? You know, we had a civil war in America during the mid 1800s. So like, I'm not trying to say, oh, you know, our country's never had our issues and stuff. What I'm trying to say, though, is like, what is your opinion on how America handled Afghanistan?
I think that every country has their own matters. For example, if right now Texas and Florida got into a war, should Pakistan or India go and interfere? No, they should not, because it's a matter of America. So I think every country should handle their own affairs.
Mm-hmm. No, I do agree with you, but you also understand, like, our politicians and stuff here, like, you know, we were there way too long. Originally, why we were there was 20 years. It's the longest war that our country has ever fought in. And what I'm trying to say is originally why we were supposed to go there was to find a certain person that attacked us on 9/11. You know, like we wanted to go in and get that person. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we stayed in there way, way too long. But now I think we kind of just created a whole different type of problem.
The problem here is that America has been in Afghanistan before Osama bin Laden.
Well, yeah, because it was during the Cold War, because, you know, the Russians, it was one of the proxy wars where so Russia.
As a big power and as a big country, and also the like power of the people. So people wanted revenge on 9/11. So because of that as well, they had to go into Afghanistan, but they kind of made a mistake when they stayed there long enough, because when you stay somewhere long enough, you are sending your own troops, your sons, your children, your brothers.
It's like we're like occupying your country. We as Americans wouldn't like that if another country was in the United States occupying our area too. You see what I'm saying? So I mean, I get it, but now can I ask you another question? Like I said, no offense.
No.
How do women get treated in Pakistan? It's got to be definitely better than Afghanistan, correct?
In Afghanistan or in Pakistan, women are allowed to work. I mean, my wife is a principal of a school. She
leads a school
of children, primary school. And most of the women here have really high authority. Like, for example, my sister studies in a government school, and the head of the government school, she is an 18th scale officer. Like, 18th scale officer is like the third most important person after a minister.
Okay. Wow.
So she is a 18 grades headmaster, and no one objects on that. So women have their own freedom. But we do have some religious things that we need to take care of. So even my wife makes hijab and she wears abaya. But that does not limit her work.
Now,
her
hijab is the covering, correct? The covering, the, you know. Like I said, you know, myself, I'm not a real religious person, but living in America, I respect everybody's freedom of religion and speech. Does that make sense? Like, because you believe something, I'm not going to judge you or anything like that. or, yeah. you know, you're Catholic, you know, or anybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you do your thing. I'll do my thing. And I think that's how we should be more in the world. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that everyone, every country, every religion, every person is doing their best. And if you interfere too much, that will create a lot of problems for everyone. Mm. So everyone should interfere at a level that is, you can say adorable, or you can say that, like, I'm not getting the right word here, but I think the right word is that they can bear it.
Yeah. No,
if you don't cross that limit, then it's fine.
Yeah, no, I get exactly what you're saying. On the line with me right now is Muhammad Waqar. Muhammad, if people want to check you out, are you on social media? Where can people find you?
Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, anywhere. It's not a problem.
Do you want me to, I'm telling you right now, you need to, if you're on YouTube, I don't know how much content you do on YouTube. But I'm going to definitely follow you on all your social media when I get done with this. Have you heard of this new trend called the milk crate challenge? You need to check this out because it's the new trend, the hot trend in the United States. They stack up these crates and then you got to walk up the crates and then you got to walk down the crates. It's like a one-dimensional pyramid, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And people are just hurting themselves left and right. So what I'm saying, you could be the first person to start this milk crate challenge in Pakistan just to, you know, have a good old time and laugh. You know, I think this might be kind of interesting for you.
I could, but I am not a very athletic person. I might break some arms and legs.
you definitely don't want to do that, Muhammad. Now, one of the things, so what type of political system do you guys have in Pakistan? What is that now?
Democracy.
Oh, so it is a democracy. So, but I heard you say prime minister, right? Or do you guys, you don't have like a president, but you have a prime minister.
We also have a president and a prime minister. I'm not really, I don't really understand these systems, but it is definitely democracy because we have elections and all that stuff.
All right. But you don't have royal families like England does or anything like that. No. Okay.
No, because Pakistan was made in the name of Islam.
And Islam.
There was no royal family at all.
Yeah, because the main ruler is, I don't want to be disrespectful by saying, you know, the name or whatever, you know, because I know you guys are very particular, but you know, it's, you know, there can only be one ruler and that's your God. You see what I'm saying? So now one of the big questions, what is Pakistan's favorite sport? You know, here in America, we have, it is cricket. See, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big soccer or football. I have to say soccer because that's what it's known here in America. But I feel like I'm a true football fan. Is football big in Pakistan?
I've always wanted to play football, but as I said, I'm not athletic.
Yeah. But cricket, I can see cricket because isn't India? India is really good at cricket as well, too.
Yep. If cricket is actually promoted here because of Pakistan and India cricket match. Everyone is on the road.
Is that the big rivalry? Like India versus Pakistan and cricket?
Especially cricket.
Man, I see. I've heard of what is it called? The Ashes. I think that might be rugby or that could be cricket. And the Ashes where they have that real tiny trophy that they give to people. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but
I'm actually not that much into it. But it's cricket.
Yeah, but cricket can last for a couple of days, can it? The games can become really, really long.
Yeah, there are different types of games, like test matches that are 3 to 4 days long. There is 2020 that's almost 1 day long, like different kinds of matches.
In Pakistan, give me a little bit of like what the culture is like. And what I mean by culture, the food, entertainment, music, movies, stuff like that. Do you guys get like American movies, newly released American movies?
I watched all the Marvel, all the anime.
Oh, so you're a Marvel fan. So you're a Marvel fan then.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, did you see the new Spider-Man No Way Home trailer?
I was busy in my company startup, so I have not. But as you mentioned it right now, I'm going to definitely watch it.
You got to check it out because, I don't know, have you seen all the Spider-Man movies, even from like ones at the beginning? You know, they're doing the multiverse, so all three actors that have played Spider-Man are going to be in the movie.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I did not know that.
Did you watch Loki yet?
Yeah, I watched Loki. Series?
The series, yes.
Yeah, I watched it.
It's really, really good. I like how they're setting up the multiverse and stuff. What is your favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movie of all time?
I think the Endgame.
Endgame, yeah.
Everyone was right there against the Thanos, and that was really fun.
Yeah. That was good. Who's your favorite character though?
Right now, my favorite character changes every time I watch something. So right now, Loki, because I watched Loki yesterday.
I know he's from India. You know, but you were talking about how India and Pakistan used to kind of be like together, correct? At one point.
Yep.
All right. So, Kumal, the comedian. You know who I'm talking about?
I have heard of him.
Yeah. Well, he's playing one of the characters coming up in the Eternal movies, and I think it's such a big deal because to have, you know, the first Indian type character in one of the Marvel movies, I think is a big deal. You know,
there was one girl, Indian girl, that made it to Hollywood movies, but she was not in Marvel. I think she was in
Who was that?
I think that was Priyanka Chopra.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, dude, she was steamy, if you know what I mean. Like she definitely was. Who is the most famous person from Pakistan? If you had your opinion,
most famous right now, our prime minister.
Oh, really?
Imran Khan. Yeah, he's
Okay, but what I'm saying, like actor, like famous, like not political person, but like, you know, most famous person, like to be in Hollywood or to be in, you know, just entertainment.
Entertainment, if you talk about like Pakistan and locally, there was this guy, really old movies. He had really old movies, like old school movies, 90s, 80s, actually 2000. His name was Shan. He was really famous everywhere. And there was Sultan Rahi. He's dead now, actually.
Here in America, we love some of the Indian, like, action movies that they do because they're so ridiculous. Like, I mean, and what I mean by ridiculous, like, it's so unbelievable. If you know, you know what I mean?
Punch someone and he's 6 feet away.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really crazy. Muhammad, man, like I could sit here and talk to you forever. You know, like I have these type of guests that come on my show that I make a connection with, like, you know what like a tuning fork is, right? You know, like you hit it and it makes that noise, you know. During this interview, you know, I get that ringing, that tuning fork ringing, that we just mesh very, very well with each other by talking to each other. And
I'm
definitely
a connection, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to have you on again. What I want to start having you on as a reoccurring guest, because I got to tell you, like, I think you've done a really, really good job. And there's some things like, you know, that I want to talk about at a later date. But like I said, I could sit here and talk to you for like another hour, but
I would definitely love to do that. I would love to be a recurring guest and like for infinite times.
Yeah. And if you ever want me to, you know, be a guest on anything you're doing, let me know. I'd be more than happy to. Okay.
We are planning actually to restart our YouTube channel. I left it a long time and it was not like really progressing at that time. But
I just got monetized. I just got monetized. So I'm actually making money off my YouTube channel now. So
that's nice. I'm going to plan it next month, at the end of next month. And I would definitely love to have you on my channel as well.
Very, very nice. Mohammed Waqar, tell people once again how they can contact you if you have a website or anything like that.
Our website is under development, but it's virtiation.com, V-I-R-T-E-A-T-I-O-N, virtiation. And but mostly I get messages on Instagram, Upwork, or Facebook. Facebook is like really heavy, always messages. And I'm not even shy about WhatsApp. So even if they want to call text or call on WhatsApp, that's okay with me. So anything is fine.
Hey, Mohammed, make sure you follow me on social media. Just search Tuttle, T-U-D-D-L-E, and I'll follow you back so I can keep up with you, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Matt, my friend, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope you enjoyed this interview.
I really did enjoy it.
All right, have a good day, my friend.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds, .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.